I'd like to read from Luke chapter 2. A very well-known passage, usually read at a particular time of year. Luke chapter 2. I'll read from verse 25. The words of Simeon. Verse 25 of Luke chapter 2. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Amen. Well, these well-known words, let's consider them for a few minutes before we sing and then later on before we pray. Here is a man, probably an old man, but he has just experienced the most exciting thing in his life so far, and however long he has to live after this event, whatever he does, whatever he achieves, is never going to be as great as what he has just done, for he has beheld the Lord Jesus. In fact, actually takes him up in his arms. How lovely is that? Of course, we know in one sense it was the Lord who carried Simeon, but here we've got Simeon briefly carrying the Lord, and he says of the Lord Jesus, he is the glory of your people Israel. All the prophets, all the law, all the seers were pointing to and anticipating this incredible event when God himself invades human history and becomes one of us. He is the glory of Israel, because Israel was pointing to him. But more than that, he wasn't just for one nation, for one people, at one particular time. He is a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. Israel had the law. Israel had the prophets. What did the Gentiles have? Well, they had a conscience, unreliable though it was. They had a vague understanding of spiritual things, which unfortunately they had turned into idolatry. But when this one comes, and he has come, says Simeon, I am holding him now, light is going to come not just to Israel, but to the Gentile nations. Could he imagine that hundreds of miles away in a damp and misty island, light would be shining in a little place at Rimington? Well, yes, he could, because he said a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. Here is the one who is going to unite Jew and Gentile in Christ. I'm taking it from back to front. You are prepared before the face of all peoples. This is a very public thing. Although many did not understand him, and many did not receive him. But the events of the Lord's life are very public. Of course, we don't know what he did for much of that life. All manner of strange tales have come out. Well, he went to Glastonbury, he went to India, he did this, he did that, he did the other. I suspect he made things out of wood in Nazareth and lived an ordinary life until that time when his ministry began. And yet, there's something very public about the life of the Lord, culminating, of course, in that incredible death, exposed, and, you know, all people gaping and gawping. He says, my eyes have seen your salvation. He's saying that looking at the child. Mm-hmm. He's not looking at the temple. Mm-hmm. He's not looking at the synagogue. He's not looking at baptism or communion. He's not looking at a program of good works or acts of piety. He's looking at a person. Because our salvation is not what we do, it's what he did and what he is and who he is. All the cults and the religions will tell you how to be saved. Do this, do that. You may have done enough. You may not, so fingers crossed. But when we, through faith, his eyes are literally looking at Christ. I've never seen him. I'm looking at him through faith, though I still believe. And blessed are we for having done so. But when we, by faith, look at the Lord Jesus and what he did and who he is, we see our salvation. He says it's according to your word. This child, this man, this sacrificial victim, this conqueror at the tomb, was planned from the very beginning. God had promised it. God fulfilled it. But I really, really like that first bit of verse 29. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. What's he referring to? He's saying, well, you know, I've come into the temple today and now I can go back home and carry on doing what I was doing. I don't think so. He's not beginning his retirement. He's talking about his own death. Now, we live in a world, perhaps he did as well, in which people will do everything they can to delay, postpone, defer, deny that death is stalking them. But here is one who's basically saying, okay, I can die now. I'm ready for it. I'm prepared. How can he say that? Well, there is an immediate fulfillment. We're told the Holy Spirit told him he would not see death until he had seen the Messiah. So in one respect, he's saying, well, okay, your word now has been fulfilled. I can now die. But also, I think he has a deeper understanding of that. The Messiah, when he came, was not just about delivering a physical Israel from a physical Roman Empire. That didn't happen. But it was about delivering people from a spiritual evil empire, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of death. And so Simeon knows that now the Messiah has come, and of course he would not have understood fully at this stage the cross and the resurrection. He would have died long before those two incredible events happened. But he knows his salvation is somehow all tied up with his little baby. And he may have thought, what on earth could that little baby achieve? Well, we know he achieved a great deal at a great cost. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. I can't tell you when Simeon died. I can't tell you what was on his death certificate. What was it, long and drawn out? Was it sudden? I do not know. But I'm certain it was peaceful. Even if his body was wrapped in pain, I think he would have been peaceful. Because when you meet Jesus Christ, and you understand who he is, and even if you don't understand everything, but you know, you understand he's the one. He's the saviour, and I'm the one he came to save. You can depart in peace. So it doesn't matter whether your departure is tomorrow, or in 10 years' time, or in 40 or 50 years' time, if you hold on to Jesus, you'll depart in peace. Poor Simeon. In one respect, we might think, well, what a dull life. He'd been waiting and waiting and waiting. And the culmination of his life was a very small child. I don't think he lived longer to see much more. Yet at the same time, I think, what an incredible life. What a life well spent. Not just seeking the Messiah,
not just waiting for him, but finding him. And when he found him, he held on to him. Of course, I imagine he did pass him back to his mother. But when mum and dad went off and took the child with them, I think in faith, Simeon continued to hold on to him. And that's what we're called to do. And holding on to him, you can say with Simeon, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. While we're here on earth, we are to be active and useful. But the day is coming when he'll call us home. And like Simeon, I pray it will be not just a day of peace, but also a day of joy. It will be the best day of your life. Amen.